Figure out how the dragon's going to be happy here, and lo and behold, you've suddenly got a place that makes sense for other organic creatures, such as ourselves, to live in. So my argument is that as we become more and more scientifically literate, it's worth remembering that the fictions with which we previously populated our world may have some function that it's worth trying to understand and preserve the essential components of, rather than throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Because even though we may not accept the reasons given for them being here in the first place, it may well be that there are good practical reasons for them, or something like them, to be there. I suspect that as we move further and further into the field of digital or artificial life, we will find more and more unexpected properties begin to emerge out of what we see happening, and that this is a precise parallel to the entities we create around ourselves to inform and shape our lives and enable us to work and live together. Therefore, I would argue that though there isn't an actual God, there is an artificial God, and we should probably bear that in mind. That is my debating point, and you are now free to start hurling the chairs around. Question. What is the fourth age of sand? Let me back up for a minute and talk about the way we communicate. Traditionally, we have a bunch of different ways in which we communicate with each other. One way is one-to-one. We talk to each other, have a conversation. Another is one-to-many, which I'm doing at the moment. Or someone could stand up and sing a song, or announce we've got to go to war. Then we have many-to-one communication. We have a pretty patchy, clunky, not really working version we call democracy. But in a more primitive state, I would stand up and say, "Okay, we're going to go to war." And some may shout back, "No, we're not." And then we have many-to-many communication in the argument that breaks out afterwards. In this century, and the previous century, we modelled one-to-one communications in the telephone, which I assume we are all familiar with. We have one-to-many communication. Boy, do we have an awful lot of that. Broadcasting, publishing, journalism, etc. We get information poured at us from all over the place, and it's completely indiscriminate as to where it might land. It's curious, but we don't have to go very far back in our history until we find that all the information that reached us was relevant to us, and therefore anything that happened, any news, whether it was about something that's actually happened to us, in the next house, or in the next village, within the boundary, or within our horizon, it happened in our world, and if we reacted to it, the world reacted back. It was all relevant to us. So, for example, if somebody had a terrible accident, we could crowd round and really help. Nowadays, because of the plethora of one-to-many communication we have, if a plane crashes in India, we may get terribly anxious about it, but our anxiety doesn't have any impact,